Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Rock Pod, the podcast where the music is loud, the hair is big, and the stories are even bigger. I'm Jimmy, and today we're diving deep into the sneering, snarling, spike-haired legend himself, Billy Freakin' Idol. That's right, grab your leather jacket, fluff up that hair with enough hairspray to single-handedly kill the ozone layer, and crank the volume. Because we're talking about the punk rocker turned MTV superstar who made sneering sexy and gave us the rebel yell heard around the world. Welcome to the Rock Pod. Before he was Idol, he was William Michael Albert Broad. Yeah, not quite as edgy, right? He was born in 1955 in Middlesex, England. Billy was self-described as an intelligent idiot. He had the brains. He got into Sussex University to study English and philosophy, but left after a year. Why? Because rock and roll, baby. The guy wasn't about books. He was about boots. Combat boots. He got his start in the London punk scene. This was the late 70s, mind you. The Sex Pistols were spitting on stage, and the punk ethos was very much smash the system and maybe your guitar, too. Billy joined Chelsea, a short-lived punk band, and then co-founded Generation X with bassist Tony James. Now, Generation X was kind of punk with eyeliner, more melodic, a little glam, and Billy already had the sneer in full force. Now, Generation X never quite hit the big time, but it gave Billy a taste of fame. And more importantly, it gave him an image. He looked like he was born with a bottle of peroxide in one hand and a fistful of attitude in the other. All right, fast forward to 1981. Billy packs up and heads to New York City. A big move. Like British Invasion 2.0. He teams up with guitar god Steve Stevens, a guy whose hair defied gravity and whose riffs could melt your face off. Together, they started working on a solo career. His self-titled debut album drops in 82, and boom, instant cult following. He had songs like White Wedding and Hot in the City. White Wedding wasn't actually about a wedding. It was about his sister marrying a guy that he didn't like. Classic Billy. Writing angsty lyrics and making it sound like a celebration of leather-clad rebellion. The video for White Wedding, and this is where Billy really shines, was made for MTV, literally. The dude was MTV, that snarl, the lip curl, the haunted chapel vibe. He made eyeliner masculine, sneers romantic, and latex gloves kind of threatening. All right, it's 1983. Let's talk about Rebel Yell. First off, it wasn't named after a war cry. Billy was at a party with the Rolling Stones, casual name drop, and saw them drinking Rebel Yell whiskey, and he thought, that'd make a great song title. And the rest is history. The album was a hit, massive. It cemented Billy as not just a punk transplant, but a full-blown rock star. Tracks like Rebel Yell, Eyes Without a Face, and Flesh for Fantasy had everything. Synths, searing guitar solos, hooks for days. Eyes Without a Face especially showed a softer side, like goth, prom, slow dance vibes. It still had that Idol edge, but suddenly you could cry and do air guitar. Steve Stevens deserved a shout here too. The guy shredded like his guitar owed him money. That duo, Billy's punkish sneer, and Stevens' arena-sized solos. was Lightning in a Bottle. Now, through the mid-80s, Billy was unstoppable. He was on everything. You couldn't flip on MTV without catching him punching the air or dramatically whipping around in slow motion. But of course, it wouldn't be rock and roll without a fall from grace. Drugs. Lots of them. Billy got caught in the trap of rock star excess. There were wild stories, motorcycle accidents, and even a moment where he trashed a hotel room so badly it made headlines in Thailand. He was becoming more infamous than famous. And then came Cyberpunk in 1993, a concept album that just didn't quite hit. It was supposed to be a cutting-edge, cyber-inspired rock record. Billy even got on the early internet hype train. Problem? It was too ahead of its time, and fans weren't ready to see Idol in a VR headset. The album flopped hard. Critics panned it. It was like your dad discovering TikTok and trying to drop a dance album. But Billy didn't disappear. He just simmered. He popped up here and there, guest starring, voice acting, and generally keeping the Idol spirit alive. In 2005, he released Devil's Playground and returned to form. And in 2014, Kings and Queens of the Underground, which got solid reviews. He also released a killer autobiography, Dancing with Myself. If you like rock memoirs with wild tales and British sarcasm, it's a must read. Rock. Billy Idol didn't invent rock rebellion, but he certainly perfected the aesthetic. He was punk enough for the underground, glam enough for the mainstream, and catchy enough for your mom to hum along. He bridged punk and pop, eyeliner and leather, rebellion and romance, and through it all, through the hits, the crashes, both literal and career-wise, the comebacks, Billy never lost that spark, that sneer, that I might steal your girlfriend or your motorcycle energy. He's still touring, still sneering, and still making crowds yell for more. If you liked today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow the Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes, and be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for the Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silver Trip. We'll see you next time.